not helpful. That's how the Prime Minister has described comments from Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson that most violence is caused by white cis men. Ms Davidson has now walked back that statement after calls for her resignation from the ACT Party and New Zealand First. She says she was in shock after being hit by a motorcycle after the trans rights rally in Auckland on Saturday and didn't provide proper context. Chris Hipkins says he accepted her efforts in correcting her own comments and that he doesn't expect perfection in his ministers. The Prime Minister joins us now. Kia ora, good morning.
Good morning.
What exactly in the comments did Marama Davidson say wrong?
I don't think bringing ethnicity or race into this debate is particularly helpful at all. I think there are some facts that are, you know, that it's fine to put on.
Was she factually wrong?
Well, in that case, yes. But in the case of, you know, saying that the perpetrators of sexual violence are predominantly men, that is absolutely correct. But I think the way she chose to express that was quite unfortunate. I think, as I indicated yesterday, she gets a little bit of leeway for the fact that she'd just been hit by a motorcycle in what was clearly quite an emotionally charged situation. But ultimately, I think that her decision to clarify her words was the right one.
And you're happy that that's the end of the matter, given that clarification?
Yes, I am. Yep.
Her broader point, and you alluded to it there, that obviously the statistics do show that, you know, when it comes to violence, men are the greater perpetrators of it. And it's not, her point was being that it's not transgender people. In the sense, she's arguing that this debate that we've been having over the last few days is a moral panic. Do you agree?
I certainly think it's also fair to say that the trans community have often been victims of violence and sexual violence, and that is also an accurate point and a fair thing to ask people to reflect on. I think that, you know, the trans community wanting to be respected, wanting to be recognised, I think those are appropriate things for politicians.
No, I understand
to be
that's a fair
about.
Point you make there, but what I'm asking is that is Posey Parker coming here and Speak Up for Women raising their concerns, feeling vulnerable, is that justified or is it moral panic?
I think there's a degree of exploiting fear in some of the public comments that have been made. I don't really want to spend a lot of time getting into that and therefore amplify it. But I think we should reflect on the fact that, you know, there is violence in the community. We should reflect on who does it, and we should reflect on the fact that we don't want it to continue.
I'm just going to ask, why don't you want to get into this? I know it's an uncomfortable place to be for many people, journalists included. But leadership is required here, isn't it? Because this is raging, this debate, in social media and houses all around the country now.
Well, and in fact, if you look at the work the government's been doing on domestic and family violence, which is by far one of the biggest areas of violence that we have to deal with, we've done a lot of work in that area as a government. I think the sort of the polarised nature of the debate that we've been having in the last few days isn't particularly helpful. It's also not one of the major issues that people are raising
right now it is. And what I want to know from you is, how does New Zealand navigate this in an election year when, as you say, we are seeing an increasingly polarised debate? What is your advice? What is your message? How do we navigate this?
Well, no, I don't agree with you, Corinne. It's certainly an issue being raised in the media a lot at the moment, but when I'm out and about, it is not the number one issue that people are talking about. They're talking about the cost of living, they're talking about the economy, they're talking about
okay,
jobs.
Okay, I accept that. I accept that you may be right there, but it is a debate and it is a polarised one, and it for the last few days, it has certainly raised the temperature. And I still want an answer to that question. How do we navigate this in election year?
I think the number one message that I always give to people when I'm asked questions like this is it's important that you continue to have friends who you disagree with. And we've got to be able to, as a free and democratic society, have disagreements from time to time, express disagreements, and that includes with our own friends. If we can do it with our own friends, then we can do it with other people. I think, you know, there is a trend globally for people to live in a more insular way, which is that they only have friends who agree with them all of the time. Actually having friends you disagree with is actually one of the best things you could do for democracy. democracy, because it means that, you know, you'll still be exposed to ideas and opinions that you might not completely agree with. That's healthy. And, you know, I would hate to see us, you know, get to a point where things did become polarised in the way they are in other countries.
Well, we're seeing more evidence this morning when we see, in terms of the co-governance roadshow that's protesting against the co-governance idea, and counter protests, we're now seeing venues refusing to host them. So another sign that, you know, we're struggling. What's the solution here if you can't, venues won't book these speakers because they're worried about security concerns?
Ultimately, I think, again, issues around co-governance, you see a group of people looking to exploit uncertainty and fear rather than try and throw light onto the situation.
Sure, so that you might be right, but they should they be able to book a venue somewhere?
That's ultimately not a decision for me. I don't manage the venue booking policy of every public venue in the country.
No, I accept that, but the issue is that it's now become unsafe, or there seems to be a health and safety issue. So that's the point where the debate seems to have got to.
I think we've got to be able to, as a country, have debate in a, you know, respectful way. That's certainly something that I'll be endeavouring to lead by example on in this election year.
Just finally on the issue of the spies and the issue around the GCSB, they raised concerns about Russian misinformation from a foreign actor coming into the country prior to the parliamentary protest. They were able to stop some of it at the source, but once it was in New Zealand and spread by New Zealanders, they didn't get involved. Why not? Why don't they get involved and stop clear of misinformation if they've got evidence to show that it's misinformation?
Look, ultimately, you know, we're not the social media censorship agency. The GCSB can identify where misinformation is, you know, is coming into the country and so on. But what people choose to share on their Facebook pages or on Twitter are matters for each individual to make decisions about. My message again,
but they don't know if it's misinformation or not. Sure, can the agencies not at least alert people to that it might have come from Russia?
Oh, but I mean, again, I think it's a case of, you know, let the citizen beware. Be aware of what you're sharing on Facebook. If you don't know the origins of it and you don't know the factual accuracy of it, don't share it.
Prime Minister, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate that. Chris Hipkins.